We're over in Nehemiah chapter 5. We've most recently discussed some difficulties that the folks there in Jerusalem had with rebuilding the wall and the different things that have come up against them. And tonight, there's another one that seems to creep in and to cause some difficulty as they're trying to finish and continue and finish the work that God had set forth for them to do. So let's stand, if we will, out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. And tonight we're going to read verses 1 through 13 here in Nehemiah chapter 5. We'll read out loud together these verses as we go through these 13 verses here, beginning all together in verse 1. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring unto bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen, and will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, their houses, also the 100th part of the money, and of the corn, of the wine, the oil, and that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and we will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. So here we have another interesting situation that comes up. So far to date, we have seen Nehemiah experience great victories, right? And we've also seen him experience some difficulties and some setbacks, if you will, in the work that God has called him to do. It seemed that, just kind of in review, it seems that the easiest thing about rebuilding the wall was for Nehemiah to convince the king to let him go. I mean, really, right? He's the king's cupbearer. He has a good relationship with the king. God gave him favor in the eyes of the king. And all the timing, God put that in order just perfectly. And up to this point, that seems like the easiest thing that's happened for him. Is the beginning. It was easy compared to what he had to deal with when he arrived on the scene in Jerusalem. Think about that. Okay, the great magnitude of the work. Remember, he had just heard about it from other people. Have you ever heard something from someone else, and then when you get to the actual job site or whatever, it's far worse than what they were told? Okay? You know, it's sometimes that's just how things work. Not only that, when he got there, he had to work with the Jews. And someone could probably ask Moses how that was. Okay? Or any of the other leaders of God's people over the time periods there. So it was difficult working with them, God's own people. His problems were also magnified through these enemies that were there, that didn't want to see Jerusalem rebuilt and God's city restored. So there was all of those things there that he was dealing with. And then, of course, the devil wants to get in on some of it and cause dissension and discouragement and grumbling and complaining and murmuring. He's just kind of stirring the pot. You know, it's got all these different difficulties in it. And the devil's just going, yeah, this is some good soup. Right? And, this is some good chili. This is some good stew. Oh, okay. Just making references to make sure you're ready for what's coming next. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't try to distract you like that. Anyways, Nehemiah is facing all these problems. And then chapter 5 hits. Can I tell you something? Many times we are our own worst enemy. Yeah, we are. This problem that we find here in these 13 verses, was it caused by the enemy of God's people? No, not really. Wasn't caused by them. Who was it caused by? God's people. It was caused by God's people not following God's laws, God's ways, God's ordinances, God's commands, God's precepts, God's order, God's leadership. The things that God said, hey, live this way and you'll have success. And they said, no thanks, we'll live our own way. Bad things happen. Now, again, probably one of the most famous comments I'll ever make as a pastor or have made as a pastor is I don't have time, okay, to go into the history of what Moses taught the people about God's procedures, how to do things, how to go about things. And God had an order to things. And he said, look, if you'll just follow these things, life will be grand. That's all I'm asking. Okay? Right now on Sunday mornings, we're kind of in the thick of talking about requirements that God had for his people. So as we look at these things and we see what happens in these people, for instance, in Exodus chapter 22, it says, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him, by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that will I hear, for I am gracious. Over in Leviticus 25, God, through Moses, gave them direction. He said, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee, take thou no usury of him, or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as an hired servant, and as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and shall serve unto thee until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shalt fear thy God. Now you remember, many times I have told you, the number one cause of all of our troubles today, I believe, is because we do not fear God as we should. What happened here? They lost their fear of God. Therefore, they did not follow his commands. They did not regard his ways. They did not do things according to it, as he said. Now, listen, there are many, many more verses that talk about these procedures. I only gave you a sample of them. There were procedures about having somebody do this and having somebody do this. And then after so many years, this happened. And after so many things, this happened. And listen, there are lots of different things. God He orchestrated all of it perfectly. And if this remnant here at Jerusalem would have conducted themselves accordingly, as God had directed, and as had been passed down from fathers to sons, and from sons to sons, and sons to sons, from generation to generation, as God wanted it to be, they would have been successful, and they wouldn't have been in this mess. But you know what happens? Did you notice there, right at the beginning, it says there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth. They're getting themselves in a tizzy because things aren't going well. Because things aren't going according to plan. So they say, and they just abandon ship and throw out all of God's laws and all of God's practices and all of God's ways and try to make it on their own. Kind of reminds me of these guys in this boat. That when a storm came up, some of them were seasoned fishermen and knew how to deal with boats and storms and things like that. And they just, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They just lost their mind. How many times do we get in difficult situations and we just lose it? And we start pulling at straws, right? Trying to make this work and trying to overcome this and taking from here and doing this and working this and that. And we abandon all of the principles and we abandon all of the things that God says, hey, live your life this way, order this way, do this here, do this there. And everything will be just fine. That's what happened in this circumstance. Folks, listen, there's going to be tough times, and some of you may be going through some tough times. Don't abandon God in your tough times. Don't abandon God's ways in your tough times. Don't abandon the principles and the things that God gives us in Scripture just to make ends meet. Because guess what? You're going to get yourself in a mess. And the mess is going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Trust God. Live by principles. Follow His ways. And God will do His part. You can guarantee, you can take that one to the bank, right? Now, so think about these things as we take a look at these verses tonight. For the Christian, it is important for us to manage what God has given us. So really, with these 13 verses, we could kind of go and talk about a stewardship type message. Because guess what? We are not owners of everything, of anything in our lives. We are managers. Okay, God owns all of it. It's all His. And He allows us to oversee and to manage the things that He bestows upon us. So for us, it is not just something that we, if we have time or if it fits our fancy, we'll take care of it. No, it's something we must do. It's something we must take heed to, good stewardship. Now, the Bible has much to say about good stewardship. And we see here that Nehemiah was very angry when he heard what was going on. Come back. Look at verse 6. Can I ask you why he was angry? Why was he angry? Because the people had disregarded God's laws and God's principles and God's way. And he said, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this stuff. And he said, this is crazy that you guys are living this way, that you're doing these things and you're going outside of the bounds that God put in place for us to be successful. Why are you doing that? He got upset. As a Christian school principal, unfortunately, finances are part of the job. And I had to manage and help manage things in the school. Obviously, you know, teachers need somewhat of a salary. And if you ever think that a very wealthy career path is being a Christian school teacher or principal, you're very wrong. You need to see me, okay, before you make that decision. It's very profitable in other ways, but not financially, if you will. Now, all those curriculum has to be paid for, things have to be done, etc. So obviously in a private setting, in a Christian school setting, tuition is an important thing. And listen, there were times as I met with parents, sometimes the subject of paying their school bill would come up. And they'd say, you know, Brother Combs, we just can't afford our school bill. We're going to have to take our child out of school. And I'm looking at him. And mom's got a cell phone. Dad's got a cell phone. Susie's got a cell phone. Johnny's got a cell phone. I listen to Johnny and Susie. And they talk about the internet they have at home. How many times they went out to eat. Vehicles I can see that mom and dad drive. No, they can't. It's not that they can't pay their school bill. It's they've chosen to pay for other things instead of their school bill. It's mismanagement. It's not setting up priorities. It's not going according to what God says. Hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Folks, we've got to be wise about the thing. You know, there's a lot of things we don't need that we have in our lives. Come on now. It's all right. I'm not slapping you that hard. You'll get over it. It's okay. There's a lot of things that we have in our lives that we choose to have in our lives that we don't really need in our lives. These people were violating some of the things that God said not to do. You know what? Sometimes Christians get themselves in a heap of trouble. Over their heads in debt. For things that they don't need. For things that aren't important in their lives. And then they feel bound that they can't give to the Lord. They can't give to missions. If a brother or sister has a need, they just don't have anything to give. They maybe would like to, but they've gotten themselves in a mess because they're not following biblical principles about good stewardship and good management. And then what? They're not able to do anything. The people here were in a terrible fix, weren't they? But it was only because they had violated what God had said. And oftentimes in the local church, that happens to us. From time to time. Hey, listen, I can look back at things. one of the most sobering things is to have a garage sale. I mean it. You know, at the time, this thing was the greatest thing ever, and you just had to have it, right? And then several months later, you're selling it at the garage sale for 50 cents. You know, garage sales are just the most sobering things. Or how many of you have been up in your attic lately, right? When we moved from Arlington to here, I had a change of heart.
about some of these things in my life. I'm like, this thing has been in the attic since we moved here, and we've never used it. Why are we taking it with us to Wiley? See how we get caught up on this and this stuff so easily? And listen, understand, over time, these people had slowly gotten away from God's principles and God's rules and God's ways and kind of been sucked in by the world. And they began to violate these things to their own detriment. And now it was hindering the work of God in their lives. Can I tell you something? These things don't all just come at once. It's a slow, steady stream that ends up affecting our lives over time. But do know that the things that we make as far as decisions in our lives concerning our finances, concerning life management, these types of things are very important. They're very important. Hey, wouldn't it be grand if a brother or sister in Christ had a need and you could just open up your wallet and just say, hey, you know what? Here, let me take care of that for you. Wouldn't that be a blessing? It is a blessing to be able to do that. And you know what? We can. We can. Instead of just saying, well, you know what, brother or sister so-and-so, I'll pray that God helps you in your endeavor in this difficulty you're going through. Well, that's great. But wouldn't it be even better to be the answer to that prayer instead of just praying for them? You see, but these people, they couldn't do that. They couldn't even go on with the work because they were hungry. They had mortgaged everything. They had sold their children into slavery. Oh, this is just a giant mess that they had gotten themselves into over time. We understand that as Nehemiah kind of considered these things, working had stopped. These things had ended because families didn't have enough to eat, and they were in debt and unable to pay back what they owed. Their homes and their property were mortgaged to the hilt, and there was a problem. There was a famine in the land. Maybe too many taxes placed on them by the king. They were charged high and inappropriate interest rates, resulting in their inability to pay back the money. Their children were gone into slavery because of it, and bond slavery because they couldn't pay their debts. And it was difficult. Nehemiah was right to be upset. Look at verse 7. Then Nehemiah says this. He says, then I consulted with myself. I love that. I read a few commentaries on what that might have meant. But basically, Nehemiah did this. Ah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's kind of what I take it as. He was upset that they had gotten themselves into this fix, but then he kind of calmed himself down and he said, okay, how am I going to best be able to make this work? What am I going to be able to do to fix this circumstance? And listen, this is where we need to get to in our lives. We've got to come to the acknowledgement that what we have been doing isn't working. And we need to give back to God's ways and get there fast. Listen, folks. Nehemiah is just going to, for these next several verses, try to rebuild, not the wall, but to rebuild these people's lives in following after God and His ways and His principles. And guess where he starts? He starts at the top. He thought about it for a moment, and he said, you know what, these people, they've been making these bad choices, but these leaders haven't been helping, they've been hurting. They're the leaders. They're the nobles. They're the rulers. They're supposed to be helping these people, not beating them down. So he says to them, hey, I rebuked them and said unto them, you guys are the ones violating God's principles. You're violating God's laws. You're charging them interest instead of just helping them out as you should, as God's word says. I don't know if Nehemiah had a copy of God's laws. I believe he did. He probably said, hey, look at this. Look what the scripture says. Look what Moses recorded for us. Look what these things that we have. You're not, these are God's people. You're God's people. You're not supposed to be charging them interest. You're not supposed to be doing these things. Where's the year of Jubilee? Where are these things that are supposed to be happening? Where's the restoration? Where's the grace? Where's the forgiveness? You're all my servants. These people aren't your servants. I mean, he goes after these guys. And rightfully so. Folks, we need to make sure that we are all working together in good stewardship. This is something in our day and time today that is quite relevant. Our world is in a financial mess. What's one of the most important things to people as we just went through this election process, etc.? Inflation. Right? Money management. Where's the money going to come from? How are we going to feed our families? What are we going to do to pay the rent or to do this or to do that? Right? You understand? This is a real thing in our world today. And this is something that they were dealing with here. And it was hindering the work that God wanted them to do. Now, let's kind of look at ourselves a little bit for just a moment. Do we want these particular things that were happening to the Jews be the hindrance to our church growing and doing a work for God? No way. Could it happen that something like this could hinder the work that we're trying to accomplish here for God in this place? Absolutely. We need to make sure that we're following God's principles. So look at what Nehemiah found here as he went through. In verse 8, he said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. They were violating the lending of money to others for usury and to gain a profit. They were enslaving their fellow brethren to pay back those monies. They were violating that. God said, hey, you need to fear me. These are my servants. And that's how you need to do it. And Nehemiah was angry because God's people knowingly ignored and disobeyed God's word. When that's the case, how can you not expect things to go upside down and go backwards and go wrong? That's how it's going to be. So, now, what Nehemiah did was he put forth a plan to make this go away, to correct the problem. And guess what? It was an easy plan. Get back to God. Get back to his ways. Get back doing the things that God says to do and not what someone else says to do or not what the popular idea is to do. Now, there are many principles in Scripture that help us to correctly manage our finances, manage the material goods that we have in our lives. This is not some kind of a self-help sermon, if you will, to try to get your money management in order. But if we do things according to God's design, we will be successful. If we do things opposite of God's design, we will fail in that effort.
So as we go down through here, we see this. Look at verse 9. It says, also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, and the corn, and the wine, and the oil that ye exact of them. We need to get back to doing things the right way. Now, let me ask you a question. Did this cause, if you will, a loss to those that had gained from these things over the years? Yes, it did. But anything that they would have lost would have been regained by God's blessing in their life. You understand that? Remember this guy named Zacchaeus? He was not a very popular man. And upon salvation, what did he tell the Lord he was going to do? He was going to restore these things. He was going to repay and give back these things. And listen, did that mean some of it had to come out of his own coffers? His own pocket? Sure. But you know what? It was something he knew he had to do, that he needed to do, and it was worth every bit of the investment. And let me tell you something. Doing things God's way is always worth the investment. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the time. It's worth the money. It's worth the expense. Whatever it is worth it to get back in the will of God and to get back in the favor of God for our lives. We as members of a local church have a responsibility to care for the church. If we can't care for our own finances, how are we going to be able to care for the church? Did the people here in Jerusalem have a responsibility to help rebuild the wall? Yes, they did. Did they have a project? Did they have something to do for the Lord? And this not caring for their own households and not following their own management for their own homes caused a problem in the work that was to be done. And God says, hey, we need to get this solved. We need to get this taken care of. And that's what they decided to do. Now, Nehemiah did not say, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get on a 5-year plan to make all these wrongs right. We're going to take it a little bit at a time and it's going to kind of go slow on getting it done. No. In our lives, when we acknowledge that something is not right, we need to stop what we're doing. You need to stop. He didn't say, okay, rulers, you know, over the course of the next 9 months, go ahead and start restoring some of this back to these people. No, he says, let's do it today. Let's get it done right now, right here, and get it taken care of. You know, some of the things that we do in our lives when we recognize there is sin or recognize there's a wrong path being taken, we kind of say, well, you know, I need some time to take care of this. What do you think this old fashioned altar is for? Forsake it, confess it, repent. All those words are not overtime words. They're right now words. Why do you want to hang on to that sin? Why do you want to hang on to that wrong pathway of life? No, we need to get it out now. And we need to, he said, hey, we're not doing this anymore. And he said, hey, look, I love verse 13. He says, I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. We're talking about immediate results here. What were they fighting against? Enemies? Time? The getting done of the work? All this stuff? They don't need this other obstacle in their lives. And it's something that they could take care of.
in-house, right? Folks, there are things in our lives, things that maybe we're violating, perhaps as an individual, maybe as a family, maybe as a church, that we just need to stop, get things right, order it according to God's word, and move on with life. Don't linger in these things. Don't let them just kind of be the underlayment and trickle through our lives. We need to care for them immediately. We need to make sure we determine and make specific plans on how to correct the situation as soon as possible. We need to make sure that we're serious and sincere, because God is serious and sincere. And we should take Him and His word seriously and sincerely. When the people of God came to terms with what God had said, they were able to praise the Lord. They were able to move on. They were able to have victory in their life. Folks, you wonder why people are beaten down and are discouraged and defeated? It's because they don't have anything to praise God for. But when we get victory over difficulties in our lives, we get victory over sin, praise the Lord. Did you notice how they responded? It says, and all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. Problem solved. Things taken care of. And that's the way God wants us to live in our lives. Let me just kind of close here with a few exhortations from Scripture. In Psalm 37, the Bible says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. You see, God's economy is not the same as man's economy. God's ways are not the same as man's ways. They're quite different. And you know what? To the rational, reasoning human mind, they're backwards. But to God, they're the right ways. They're the ways of prosperity. You know what mankind says? Man says, get all you can all you get, sit on the can and spoil the rest. Because if I can't have it, neither can you. That's man's ways. You know what God says? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Right? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. But God has directed us to live a certain way. I love how the church responded in Acts chapter 2. You know that during this time, the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from all over the world sojourning there in Jerusalem for this feast. They had homes and things and families in other lands, not there in Jerusalem. And these people, they got saved. And they were excited. But they had no place to stay. They maybe were running out of money because they hadn't planned to be here for an extended period of time in Jerusalem. So you know what the church did? They decided to start selling stuff and just dispersing to people as they had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In Luke chapter 6, more backwards thinking from Jesus Christ. And I say that affectionately, understanding that we're the ones that think backwards, not Jesus. Okay? He says this, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. That's backwards, isn't it, to us?
Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also even do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Many of God's works have ceased because the people of God refuse to practice biblical principles when it comes to these matters. Now, thankfully, for the people of God and for the work at Jerusalem, Nehemiah was able to mend these circumstances and get the people to turn back to God and to his ways. We as the church, likewise, need to mend our ways. Live according to biblical principles. Fearing God, not fearing man. Doing things God's way, not doing things man's way. You know what? You know where you ought to get your financial advice from? From here. You know where you ought to get your management advice from? From here. Not from Dr. So-and-so that writes whatever book. Okay? That's not the place to get it from. God's word is to be followed, is to be used to direct our paths in all of our ways. God wants to be involved with our lives. And then we can continue to do the work of the Lord as we should. It's interesting how shortly after, we'll get to this next week, but they were able to continue in the work because they had solved this problem. When we solve these problems in our lives that come up, because they will come up from time to time, according to God's ways, then his work can be continued. I want to be an encouragement and a help to you. You may not be going through difficulties. You may already have this figured out. Continue in the ways of the Lord, and he will bless us. That's his promise to us.